Now, friends, I come to the 91st Psalm, and last time we saw the 90th Psalm when we were finishing, and that was a psalm of death. Moses out there in the wilderness. You can see him day after day having to pause on the wilderness march to bury someone. And he got a perspective of life that many of us do not get even today. Then Psalm 91 is a psalm of life, and it's a messianic psalm, and it reveals a wonderful place of protection and of security today. It has a meaning for us, but it is a picture also of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is one psalm that is very popular, and God's people of all ages. When I mean of all ages, I mean that in two ways. I mean young and old, and I mean those from the past down to the present have been greatly blessed by this 91st Psalm. And the 90th Psalm actually was a picture of the first man, Adam. In Adam all die. That's the Psalm of death. But this second Psalm is the Lord from heaven, and it's truly a messianic psalm. It's a psalm of life. And this is a psalm that's quoted by Satan. I've almost preached a sermon one time on this psalm. I didn't do it, but I intended to. Never got around to it. And I had a subject, and my subject was the psalm that Satan reads. Here's a psalm that he knows. We'll see that when we get to it. Now, we are told here, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall tent under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Jehovah, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. That's lovely, is it not? That's lovely language. And this one is depicted for us here, the same one who was the blessed man in the first psalm. The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect man, the holy man, the sinless man. And he always dwells in the secret place of the Most High. The problem with me is I get there sometime, but I stay there very much like I stay in motels. I'm just there for a night or two at a time. Now, will you notice as we move into this psalm, it says, he shall surely deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the pestilence which destroys. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou find refuge. His truth shall be shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day. I had a young man that was in the service during the war, and he took that as his verse. And the Lord brought him through. He felt on the basis of that verse. Then another young man took one down below here, and I read this, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And this is the one he took. He was in the Air Corps in the Navy. And he retired as a commander, very fine young man. And he's not so young right now, but this was his verse. A thousand shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thee, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I think these verses here have been used by God's people many, many times, and God has made it real to them. But it's a picture of our Lord. Now, I want to give you the statement of Dr. A.C. Gabelein, a great Bible teacher of the past generation. He has this to say of this passage. Let us think of himself first of all. There was no sin in him, and that which is the result of sin, disease, and death had no claim on him. In every way, he was the perfect man, and because he trusted in God his Father, walked in perfect obedience, The great fowler Satan could not catch him, nor the pestilence of destruction. Covered by his feathers, under his wings, the perfect man on earth found his constant refuge. He knew no fear. That which befell others could never come nigh unto him, and his own follow him in the life of trust and obedience, claiming also preservation and protection. And I pause to intrude with this. I think these young men who took verses out of this psalm had a perfect right to do it, by the way. And God made it real in their lives. Listen to this. Yet how true it is, our body is dead on account of sin. Fanaticism may claim all these statements as having an absolute meaning for the trusting child of God. Experience teaches often the opposite. Because we are the failing and erring creatures of the dust, we need discipline and have to pass through the tests of faith. Yet in it all, the believer can be in perfect peace, knowing that all is well. Though he slay me, yet will I trust, is the summit of free faith and true faith and confidence in God. This is quite a wonderful statement, is it not? Now I pick up the reading here again in verse 9. Because thou hast made Jehovah my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy tent. That's a picture of him, you see. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, I want you to look at that for a moment, because that's the passage that Satan quoted. And the interesting thing is, Satan knew this psalm applied to the Lord Jesus, as well as the Lord Jesus did. He knew something a lot of theology professors don't know today. And will you notice this again? For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Now, I'm not going to take time to turn to it, but if you turn to the quotation that you have in the New Testament of this, when Satan quoted it to the Lord in his temptation in the wilderness, he left out this next clause, to keep thee in all thy ways. You see, he left that out. And someone has said the devil can quote Scripture for his purpose. Well, I don't think he can. He can misquote it. And he did that here. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Yes, that's right. To keep thee in all thy ways. The Lord Jesus said, I've come to do the Father's will. And that meant to walk in his way. He'd be stepping out of the will of God if he had attempted to make the stones into bread, or if he had accepted the kingdoms of the world from Satan, or if he'd cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. All of that. Why, he'd been out of the way of God, and he'll keep thee in all thy ways. And verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. All of this. Now he has two becauses here. You'll notice verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me. And these are two very important becauses we have here. And because he hath set his love upon me, because he hath known my name, I'll deliver him, I'll set him on high. You see, the perfect man went into the jaws of death, and he went down into the lowest parts of the earth, which mean death and the grave. And deliverance came on the third day when God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. And he says, I'll set him on high. What a picture that we have here in this psalm.